in his glory, accompanied by all the angels, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him. Then he will separate them, like a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats at his left. Then he will say to those on his right, "Come, beloved of my Father, and receive the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was ill, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then they will answer and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and give you food, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothed you, or ill or in prison and care for you?" Then he will say to them, "Amen, I say to you, what you did to the least of my brethren, you did to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Begone from me, you cursed, for I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you gave me no welcome. I was naked, and you gave me no clothing. I was ill and in prison, and you did not care for me." Then they will answer and say, "Lord, when were you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison, and we did not minister to your needs?" He will say to them, "What you did not do to the least of my brethren, you did not do for me." These will go into everlasting punishment, while the righteous to everlasting life. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. See what we have encountered in coming to this last Sunday of the church's year. A year ago, we began with John the Baptist in preparation for Jesus' coming. We celebrated his birth, his growing up, his getting lost in Jerusalem, his leaving his mother when he was 30 years old and going into Capernaum, beginning to teach, the tremendous healings. We listened to his teachings, to his parables. We saw how the elders hated him, took him prisoner, crucified him. We celebrated his resurrection on Easter Sunday, his ascension to the Father with a promise that He's going to come back and take us with Him. Pentecost, we celebrate His giving us His Holy Spirit. And on the last Sunday of the year, the church gives us the feast of Christ the King, saying we're going to conclude this year now. Look what we have encountered, what we have done. Proclaim Him as your King. King of all kings, Lord of lords. Cry out to Him in worship. And so we worship Him. It began with, I exalt You. I worship You. You are my Lord. And God is pleased with the praise. But there is a problem that everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of God. He said there's many people who will proclaim Him to be King, but they do not accept Him as King in their life. And so we ask the question, well, how do we know that we're proclaiming Him as King? We open the Scriptures today to Matthew 25. It's very, very simple. When You feed me when I'm hungry, and give me drink, and visit me, and minister to me, and welcome me. And You welcome me when You welcome the least of My brethren. You will hear those words. Come, receive the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And I could tell you, don't ask the next question. But you're going to, because He said you're going to ask. You're going to say, Lord, when did we feed You? When was the last time you made an extra meal? When was the last time you brought up your tithe? It's very simple. You're feeding God. You're feeding Jesus Christ and giving Him to thirst by giving Him the minimum of that 10%. You who pay your 10% and bring that, you know that you'll never hear, I was hungry and You gave me nothing to eat. You will never hear that if you bring your tithes. And bringing your tithe, how often do you think this actually is feeding Jesus? He's going to be at Ken Baldwin's table. And I'm working to give Him a just wage. Angie's table. And Tom Priest's table. Even Sister Winifred. The food that we provide for... we're feeding Jesus. When do you think of that? When somebody calls and says, somebody's in the hospital, and would it be all right, we've got somebody for Tuesday, and we got somebody for Thursday and Friday to bring a meal. We need somebody for Tuesday. Or we need somebody for Wednesday. How often do you think, as you're preparing that meal, that you are actually feeding Jesus Christ? I bet you don't. That's why you send it over in the cracked Tupperware. You thought for a moment you'd get your best china. Say, this is for Jesus. And you're going to be there and you're going to say it. Lord, when did we feed You? On Wednesday night. When You brought that meal over, You were feeding Me. Why do you forget? I don't know why, but you do. And you'll ask the question, and you'll hear this answer. But I don't want one of you who say you're too busy and you got to feed your own. I don't want one of you who say, why don't they take care of themselves if we went to work? And he'd stop that drinking. Then his kids would have some food. I don't want one of you on that day to turn to me because I'll be with you filled with shame or filled with pride. Don't turn and say, why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you tell us? It's too late now. When you come forward, the prayer that's there is very simple. Pause, put your hand on the basket and say, Lord, let it be a sacrifice that will feed you and give you something to drink. Let it be a sacrifice. But I want more than that. I want you to, yes, of course, to recognize that you're feeding Jesus. When somebody calls, when I tell you that the collection is used for the poor, to put food on the table of our workers, I want you to recall that. But I want more than that. I want you to wake up every morning, because every day Jesus is hungry. You take care of your needs every day. Every day, someplace, He's hungry and thirsty. He's a stranger. I want you to wake up saying, Lord, where can I take care of You today? Where can I feed You? It's a wonderful thing. I'm just so proud that we're not a people that just on Thanksgiving Sunday, the Sunday before, you bring so much groceries to take care of our families that they won't have a very good Thanksgiving. They won't even have a turkey. I already met one, said there's no... I said, don't worry, there'll be a turkey. They'll provide for you. They always do. But it's not just Thanksgiving. That used to bother me in the past. Oh, the groceries that came up on Thanksgiving was just so beautiful. But I looked and I said, yeah, but these people eat, you know, the week after Thanksgiving too. And the week after that. Didn't Jesus say, the poor you will always have with you? We have to have them. That's the only way we can feed Jesus. And I want you to wake up and say, Lord, where can I help You today? Oftentimes, not oftentimes, every time it's in your own family. That's what we're told, that love begins at home. It's in your own family that are craving to be accepted, to be loved, to be hugged, to be held. And you hold one of those little ones, you're holding Jesus. And you put your paper down, and you take time, and you listen. You think you're listening to a little three-year-old that's summering out and telling you, oh, his problems, and what's happening at school with a nine-year-old. And you are listening to Jesus. You welcomed Me, or you rejected Me and put your nose in that television or in the newspaper. That's how we know if Jesus is our King. But see if you can bring yourself to that challenge of every day. Lord, where can I minister? You're people of God. And I don't have to go into needs and wants. We take care of people who are in need. There are a lot of people who want a lot of things. I think I told you about that inebriated man who went into the confessional. He was in deep need. But he told me what he wanted. He wanted money. But I don't give him money. He doesn't need money. I found out. I listened to him. I found out what he needed. And I took care of the need. You do that too. Anybody who comes to you, never say no. You never say, I don't have enough for my own. I don't have anything to give you. You never say that. You call 680-7351, the emergency number. You say, somebody is hungry. Find somebody. I know 600 families. I know people who are so generous. If you don't have it, you never say no to someone in need. Because you're saying no to Him. Now, a lot of people, the line is so narrow. A lot of people will help the poor, bring food to the poor. But if it's not in Jesus Christ, then all it is food for the belly. We are so privileged. We are involved in great mysteries, powers and principalities. Some people will leave a foundation and their name is known and people will remember their name somehow in their mind. They think they're going to live on by a statue, or that's their living into the next generation because people mention their name. And that's why they're generous and they give. They give because, well, you know, I wouldn't let an animal starve, so I'm not going to let that family starve. And it makes me feel good. Really, it does. It makes me feel good when I'm able to feed a family and help them. But you and I help a hungry family because we know it's Jesus Christ that we're feeding. Because the message of Jesus Christ is being preached to the poor. Did you hear that? That was St. John the Baptist's first proclamation. It was the word of Jesus that he told his disciples to go out and proclaim that the good news is being preached to the poor. They get the message. And they accept Jesus Christ. So you do much, much more than just putting food on the table of those who are in need. You're working eternal life every day. And let your heart be filled with joy. Don't think that you are Christian and your brother calls and he's in need. Oh, here we go again. How many times people give in order to get the person off their back? Instead of being filled with joy that they came to you, that you had the privilege of welcoming them into your house. Don't we like our little private house and our own kids, and we don't want visitors and we don't want anybody to... How privileged that I am that they could come and live with me until their house was ready, or live with me until we found a job, and you welcomed Jesus. Do you think that sometimes we begin to think like pagans? I mean, I helped last time. Do you know, so pagan is it that children will fight about who's going to take care of mom or dad? Something? And you think you're just going to walk into the kingdom? Come on, into my Father's kingdom. Because I was... Well, we'll miss that part. I mean, you never fed me. Just come on into the kingdom because you went to church on Sunday. Is that what it said? Because you never had an affair, is that what it says? What did he say? Jesus, where are you? I want to minister to you. Help me. Every day, look for him and serve him. Your teenagers that are giving your parents hard time, let me tell you where Jesus is. And you raise your eyes, you're going to see Jesus Christ face to face. And you will see for whom you raised those eyes and talked back and told to shut up. Oh, and there's no teenagers like that who tell their parents to shut up. But they do it. They're taught to do it on television. It's the big education force, disrespect. Jesus, where are you today? I want to love you. I can hear him talking right now. He's saying, I'm right there in that pew, a little bit to your left. Go ahead, look. You'll see me. And I'm tired. And I was up late last night, and this sermon has gone long enough. Would you please lay off? Okay, Lord, please stand.